following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hope you're doing well. We're in the middle of December, getting ready for Christmas. It's getting a little chilly out there, isn't it? Patriots have the week off. They're in first place in the AFC. And things are all looking good here in Boston. Hope you're doing well. We are here in studio again this Sunday, providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO, like I said, of Friedman Financial. Our office, located right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Ristorante at 41 Cross Street. With just a few weeks left to go, it looks like the market is certainly going to finish in positive territory for the year, unless something dramatic happens towards the last few weeks of the year. 3 years in a row, we've had double-digit returns. And one of the bold statements that came from Mr. Solomon, who is the David Solomon, who is the CEO at Goldman Sachs. He made the bold statement. He had a prediction for next year. Bold statement. And he said, prediction for the stock market next year, we probably won't have as great of returns next year as we did this year. Well, that was pretty bold, pretty safe bet. I think anybody would say the same thing. I don't think anybody's ready to say 2022 will get 22 or some type of double-digit rates of return. I'd like to see us perform in the mid to high single digits for next year. That's really where we should be in the first place. Frankly, I don't think anybody at the beginning of 2021 suggested that we were going to hit, you know, solid double-digit returns again. You know, we had the coronavirus. We've had all sorts of other issues that have impacted the economic culture around here. But we'll take it. Sure, the market has been good, certainly in certain areas. Yes, there are people whose lifestyles have been impacted this year, and not to put a blind eye on that. I mean, those people need some help, but there are a lot of other industries that are really thriving. Generally, the economy is going to continue to thrive. Different sectors of the economy will thrive at different periods of time. And during today's show, we're going to invite in my business partner, Marion Gilman, to give us some insight on how those sectors have been rotating, what may look more favorable in the year to come than what we've seen this year in the areas of different types of sectors in the market. But at the end of the day, folks, trying to guess a sector, trying to guess which stock is going to do better than the next one is fool's gold. It really is. I mean, where do you trust to get your information on a short-term basis? To us, it just seems as if you're going to do your financial planning and you're planning for your future. I don't care whether your future includes 80 years or your future includes 20 years or even 10 years. That's what you should be looking at. Look at that horizon. Don't look at all the waves along the way getting you out to that horizon. There will be chop, sometimes chop that you didn't even see coming. But that horizon, the one way out there, that holds your possibility. That is the optimism. That's what you're shooting for. And if you can construct a financial plan that allows you to keep your eye on the horizon and not in the chop in the water, you are going to be so much happier. So much happier. But there are things that you can do in your life that you can control to limit the chop that exists in your financial future. One of those instances has to do with your own protection of your identity. Just this week, we had a situation where a client called our office and she told us of a situation where she had written her checks like she does every month to pay her bills. She goes down to the local post office and drops her envelopes in the drive-by slot at the local post office. Thinks nothing of it. Then she goes to the bank one day where she goes up to the drive-through ATM to take $300 out of her account. And she gets the receipt that comes back, and the receipt says that she has $30 remaining in her account. And she thought for sure she had $6,000 in her account. But it said there was $30. So she pulls in to the parking space at the bank. She goes to the teller and she says, "I don't understand. I thought I had around $6,000 in my account, but now it says I only have $30. Where did the other money go?" And so the teller was very nice. She pulls up a check that this woman had written. And she says, "Well, here's this check for $5,650 that you had written." And she looks at the copy of the check and she says, "I didn't write that check." She says, "In fact, that's the check that I had written to Blue Cross Blue Shield for my Medicare premium. And that check was for about $50. And so they look at the check again and they begin to realize that something happened. Somebody fraudulently forged and changed up her check. And we thought, how could that possibly happen? She called me, "Mark, how does this happen?" And I reminded her of the story that we told about check washing. You see, one of the most dangerous things a person can do is write checks to pay bills and stick them in the mailbox at the end of their driveway where the mailman will just swing by and get it when because they see a flag is up. When you're doing that, you're inviting a thief to go into your mailbox and take those envelopes, open them up, and find checks that you might have written to Blue Cross Blue Shield, to the electric company, to the cable company. But in the instance, if you heard my story earlier, she didn't put her checks at the end of the mailbox, at the mailbox at the end of the street. She actually dropped it into a drive-through mailbox, a U.S. postal mailbox, which was probably picked up by the Postal Service. Somehow, some way, someone was able to pull one of her envelopes, took the envelope, opened it up, pulled out the check. And through a series of doing something that's called check washing, where you can buy a chemical that will lift ballpoint ink off of a check. And so this person did just that with a piece of tape. They covered with the tape over her signature and the ballpoint ink from everything else, the paid to the order of, the amount of money just lifted right up and washed away. So the gentleman or whoever it was pulls out the check, hangs it out to dry, peels back the tape, and now you have a blank check with your signature on it. And it was interesting when we saw a copy of the check. She says, "Well, that's not how I wrote my name on the check." Well, it was definitely her signature, but it had smudged a little bit. It was like a little bit thicker than the width of what the pen might have been. That's probably because there was a little bit of chemical that must have got onto that tape. But the rest of the check that was written to a person for $5,000 and something, I forget the exact amount, was in somebody else's handwriting. And that person went to the bank, deposited the check, perhaps even cashed the check, and walked away with the money. And this woman, and I would be too, was quite rattled that somebody could do that. Now, sure, the bank made good on the check. They responded back and put the money back in the check into her account because it was a fraudulent activity. But how many other people may see this happening or may not even see it happening, but are having it happen in their own checking accounts? When's the last time that you balanced your checkbook? Most people don't do it. At least they don't do it anymore. I mean, I haven't done mine in probably 20 years. But the reason I don't do it a lot of times is because all of my bills are paid electronically. I use the online apps. If you're still using the check writing system as a main reason or main use of paying your bills, I would encourage you to start thinking otherwise. Now, you might say, well, I don't trust those online systems. Well, I'm telling you, the online systems are a lot more protective for you than is actually writing a check and dropping it in the mailbox, or dropping it in the mailbox at the end of your driveway, or dropping it in a mailbox at the local post office. Now, if you're writing a check and handing it to somebody that you're paying, well, that's one thing. But if you have the opportunity to send a check in the mail and you can't guarantee whose hands are going to touch that check, you're putting yourself at risk. And unfortunately, in today's world, we have to be careful. And I know we seem to be so worried about identities being stolen electronically through cyber attacks. But these other types of theft, the ones that just require a little bit of manual interruption, are really impacting the community, especially the senior community. Folks, it's Christmas time. People are out, especially those that are struggling, finding ways to make money in ways that is illegal or inappropriate. I know another thing that we try to do, and here's another piece of financial advice in a language you can understand. You know, we try to tip towards the end of the year, the postman, even the garbage man. We used to put out gift cards out with our trash the week of Christmas. And one year we decided that we were just going to put out cash rather than gift cards. And I'm sitting in front of my house. This has got to be 6 years ago. I'm sitting out having breakfast in my kitchen, and I'm looking out, and I see my trash out just to the left of the window. And this car pulls up to my trash, sees that I have a balloon that's attached to one of my barrels, and an envelope hanging on it, clearly for the trash man. And this man drives by, grabs the balloon and the envelope, and keeps driving. And he's peeking in people's envelopes all around the neighborhood, grabbing those envelopes. There was no way I could catch this guy, but I actually saw him take it. What we have to do now, I wait out on Tuesday afternoons for Tuesday afternoon for the mail, for the garbage man to come, and I hand them a tip. Folks, we got to be careful. What used to work 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago, we have to change. We have to adapt. And that goes with a lot of things in the way that we do things. You know, 20, 30 years ago, you could live off your interest and dividends to support your life in retirement. 20, 30 years ago, you could get 8, 10, 15% on CDs at the bank. 20 years ago, you were also paying 7 and 8% on a mortgage. 20 years ago, cars didn't cost as much. Cost of goods didn't cost as much. Life was a lot simpler. But today it's changed. And if we're not adapting to what we need to do to change, we will find ourselves in many cases worse for the wear. So I want to give you some positive steps to improve your financial life, to make things better, so that you can look forward to the greatness that's about to happen. The state of the U.S. economy is frankly in great shape. Yes, there are parts that are always bruised, but for the most part, it's doing great. And to resist it, to turn away from it, is probably a mistake. I want to use this time during Dollars and Cents to give you financial advice in a language you can understand. And in the next couple segments, I want to give you insights as to how you can begin to plan for your future, and also give you some steps with just a few weeks left in the year to make sure that you're positioning yourself appropriately for 2022. Before we head off for a break, I want to remind you about our free weekly newsletter. comes out each and every Friday at 10:30 in the morning. Go to our website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page. Put in your name, your email address. Sign up for our free newsletter filled with financial advice in a language you can understand. And of course, if you're so inclined and would like to schedule a free initial consultation to learn more about how we can set you on the right course towards achieving what I hope would be your financial goals and dreams, I hope you'll give our office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We're going to take a quick break. When we're back, I'll have my business partner, Marion Gilman, joining us for more financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial. With all that's gone on over the past couple years, perhaps retirement is sounding pretty good. But how can you focus on the future when you're so busy juggling the day-to-day? It's time for a real plan. A plan you can define, a plan you can track, and a plan you can modify as things change. At Friedman Financial, that's what we do. We know that planning for your retirement can be overwhelming, but with more than 50 years of experience, we know what you're going through. We're experienced and we're fiduciaries. We listen and we collaborate with your best interests in mind. You don't have to do this alone anymore. Turn to us for answers to your why, how, and what if questions. If now is the time to get serious about your retirement, please give us a call. We're Friedman Financial of Peabody. Financial advice in a language you can understand.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Friedman Financial is a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
It's not about the money, money, money. We don't need your money, money, money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Ristorante, where they have fabulous garlic bread. It is the middle of December. We've just got a couple weeks remaining in the year, and we're doing some year-end planning with our clients. We're also thinking about 2022 and how we can make smart financial decisions for the years to come. And joining me in studio right now is my business partner, Marion Gilman. Marion, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Sorry I'm late.
No, you're not late.
It's Sunday morning. You know, I like to sleep in a little.
I get it. It's okay. You're not late at all, because I'm sure you'll provide us with such great information that we need not say, oh, she was late again? She was not late. You were not late. I told her that she could come in at this time. But, you know, clearly it's been a year again. We're third year in a row where we've had double-digit returns in the stock market.
Is this unbelievable? I just read a statistic which totally blows me away, and that is from the beginning of last December, December 2020, to the beginning of this December, you know, right now, 2021, the S&P has gained over 25%. That is astounding. And 71 times it has hit an all-time record high. Amazing. I mean, that's
71 times out of there's 365 days, but that's not business days.
No, of course not.
Because it's like 200 and something. So that's almost 25% of the time this year there was a business day. The S&P hit a new all-time high.
Unbelievable.
So wait a second. But I thought the economy was doing lousy.
Yeah. Well, I don't know where the economy... Well, you know what? There are certain pockets of the economy that haven't done quite as well as others. And we've seen some ups and downs in the market, certainly. But that's to be expected. And so when we tell our clients, you know, sit tight, don't panic, don't sell. If you have a well-balanced portfolio, it will recover. We know it will. And these are the experiences that we get when we stay in the market and we don't try to time the market.
Yeah, one of the things that we try to do here at Friedman Financial for our clients is periodically we host video town halls. And this past week, we hosted a video town hall for our clients to talk about a few things going on that impact their portfolios, that might impact economics, but also to get them to focus on the horizon and not the chop in the water. And, you know, recently LPL, like everybody, puts out a market outlook. Here's what our outlook is for the next quarter. How valuable are those, Marion?
Not at all. I mean, nobody knows what the market is going to do on a quarter-to-quarter basis. All we can say is, 5 years down the road, do we think the market's going to be higher? And what would you say to that, Mark?
Absolutely. 5 years
Most
is going to be higher.
Yeah.
But you know what?
10 years, even higher than that.
Wait, will it go down in the next year? Yep, absolutely. How much?
Who knows?
But you know what?
Yep.
I do know this. And we were talking about this in the office this past week. There is a greater chance of you getting hit by a bus than the market hitting zero.
And I always, you know, when...
Think about that for a minute.
Definitely.
You know, people just say, oh, what's the chances of me getting hit by a bus? Or what's the chance of me getting struck by lightning? There's a greater chance of you getting struck by lightning than the market going to zero. But why is that?
Because think about, and I've told people this. This is many, many times. Think of what has to happen for the market to go to zero. That means that, for the S&P to go to zero, that means the 500 largest companies in the United States, companies that have been in existence for years, have to become worthless, have to all go out of business, declare bankruptcy, and become worthless. I just don't see that happening.
How could that possibly happen?
And you know what? My response always to that is, as well, and if that happens, you're not going to be worried about your money.
That's right.
You're going to be worried about your life because there is no rule of law. I mean, there's nothing, right?
If the stock market goes to zero and you're ill and you need to go to a hospital, first of all, no one's working at the hospitals because no one can get paid because no one's making any money. You want to get medicines and medical supplies? You can't because
Gone.
The companies aren't making them.
That's right. So
we have to be realistic. So there is a greater likelihood of a stock that you might own going to zero for sure.
Absolutely.
But the stock market going to zero? No way is that going to happen.
And, you know, we just recently saw the technology stocks that ran up significantly over the course of the first part of the year. They all pulled back. And that, you know, that happens. A 20% decline is not uncommon for an individual stock. 25%, 30%. That can happen in any particular year and multiple times.
Right. Well, because remember, the stock market, or even stocks for that matter, move based on supply and demand. It's really what
in
it comes
many,
down to.
That's exactly
in many
right.
cases. So,
and sometimes it's only sentiment that's creating that
right.
supply and demand.
But, so I think it might have still been this year. Remember AMC stock?
Yes,
and Hertz?
It was this year.
And Kodak and all those companies that are—they were called the meme
stocks—that
just jumped up thousands of percent. What is anybody talking about those these days?
Well, that's gone by the wayside. They're onto something different,
right?
You know?
Because there was a lot of demand for it, so
that's
the price
right.
went up.
That's right.
And now there's no demand. No one's even talking about that stuff anymore. Same thing with these crazy cryptocurrencies. That's in and out of favor, and there's all sorts of names of cryptocurrencies. But the general cryptocurrency market, people are buying into something that nobody understands. People will ask us all the time, are you guys helping your clients invest in cryptocurrencies? And our answer is
no.
No, and it's very simple. They say, well, why not?
Well, and we can't buy cryptocurrencies.
We can't. But even if we could, I don't like to buy things that we can't explain in a language you can understand.
Absolutely. Well, recently, they've come out with some other opportunities to invest technically in cryptocurrencies, but these are like futures contracts on cryptocurrency. Once again, even more esoteric. And so many people don't understand this. So it's very, you know, it's very difficult to say, oh, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to invest in all this stuff. Because you just don't know what the outcome could ever
Absolutely.
Be.
Remember, there was the company Robinhood.
Yeah.
Everybody was talking about Robinhood for a while. I haven't heard anybody talk about Robinhood lately, though there are a lot of people that own shares that trade and have activity
yes.
in Robinhood.
Correct.
But that stuff is not there anymore. But what's really interesting is the stocks that were hot, and these are the things people were buying in Robinhood and all those places, were tech stocks, weren't they?
Yes. And it was whatever there was associated with Robinhood. There was this whole, I can't remember the website where people went online and they started chatting.
It was a Reddit site or something?
Yes,
and
it was Reddit. And it was something, it was all
it was
about
one of those
Wall
bulletin
Street
boards.
Stocks,
right.
You know. And people were trading on who knows, you know, who was giving advice. And so they're all pouring into particular stocks on a particular day. So you have to be very, very careful about particularly the penny stocks or the stocks that trade very actively on sites like that.
And it's not uncommon for you and I to hear from people, whether it's at work or we're out at a cocktail party or at a friend's house, where people said, oh my God, have you heard about this stock? This one's talking about this. We got to buy this, got to buy that, got to buy that. And what's your advice generally to them, Mary?
Well, we don't. You know what? We don't advise doing that. We actually deal with money, with people who are serious about their money. And I'm sure you've explained that to all of the listeners on the radio. Because we want, you know, we're not traders. We don't jump in and out of the market. What we're trying to do is help people achieve their financial goals. You don't do that through trading constantly and going online and finding all these, you know, hot stocks and going in and out of the market. Sure, could you make a small amount of money at certain times? Absolutely, you could. But and you can make large amounts of money at certain times as well. You can also lose small in large amounts of money. So that's not something that we advise.
Yeah, and that's why when we're building portfolios, not only are we building them for the long term, not for 6 months, not for 3 months, not for a year, we're building them to last through ups and downs in the marketplace.
For generations.
But absolutely, for generations. Yeah. You're right. We've been doing this, I mean, this is my 30th year. You're
23rd year.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's all, you know, we've seen a lot.
We certainly have.
We've seen planes go through the Twin Towers.
Yep.
We've seen a financial crisis that happened in 2008 and 2009.
Yep.
We've dealt with the coronavirus.
Yep.
And every single time our advice to people has been the same during those challenging and emotional periods when they say, so when do we get out? And what's our answer been, Marion, consistently?
We've never gotten out.
Never?
Never get out. Because you don't know when it's going to come back. You don't know when it's going to turn around and just come roaring back. I mean, think about the coronavirus. That's a perfect example. Mm-hmm. March 23rd, 2020, I believe it was, it hit, the stock market was down 35%. I think that was the lowest point. It turned around so quickly and came back so fast, you didn't have time to get out and get back in. You know, this just happened so rapidly. And so if you had gotten out on March 23rd, if you missed the next 5 days, you are out of luck. You had already missed half of the upside.
Absolutely. I mean, they used the term when the market went down. They said, will we have a V-shaped recovery or a U-shaped recovery? And a V-shaped recovery means it's going down quickly and then coming back up quickly.
Right.
U-shaped recovery means it goes down, stays down for a while, and then climbs back out.
There were actually people who were talking about L-shaped, too, where it just didn't come back up.
It was never going to come back.
For a very long time, you know?
And I talked about what I called the square root recovery, where I thought it was going down hard, going to come back about halfway, and then level off for a while, slowly climbing. Well, I was wrong. I mean, who would have known, right?
Nobody.
Who would have
knows.
Known?
Right.
But whether, if you were a long-term investor, the type of recovery expected really doesn't matter if you stay invested. And that was the advice we gave to our clients.
That's absolutely right. And we always do.
Right. And so
we have to be the rational voice, correct?
Right. The rational voice during emotional times.
That's right.
And I think
that's
one
right.
of the reasons why clients pay for financial advice, whether it's economically, whether there's a family crisis, whatever there is a big major financial decision that has to be made, they want a rational voice during emotional times.
So how many times have you heard the expression, but this time it's different?
Oh, but this time it was different, wasn't it? No, it really, yeah. Yeah, the narrative might have been a little bit different, but the end result is going to be the same.
That's
short
exactly
term,
right.
People say, oh, no, it's always different. Just like when we have a fight with somebody, and when you're trying to rationalize the reason for the fight and compare it to something else, well, this time it's different. This time it's different. At the end of the day, we're all working towards a solution.
That's
we don't
right.
want to stay in the fight the whole time. We don't want to be agonizing over the issue. We want to work through it. That's what we're trying to do with you with financial planning as well. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we get back, I'm going to talk more about, we want to talk about capital gain distributions, because that's something that is really important to discuss towards the end of the year. And I also want to talk about a reshifting of what's been going on in stock market performance from growth to value. from away from international, what bonds are doing. Marion's our expert here, and she'll give us that perspective. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here Sundays from 8 to 9 a.m. Let's face it, your retirement will be nothing like your parents'. Your life won't be based on a fixed income, and instead, in today's world, it will be up to you to make tax-smart decisions on your 401k, your IRAs, and the rest of your investment portfolio. And it's all with a goal of using this money to support your spending needs for the rest of your life. This is serious business, and at Friedman Financial, we can help. With more than 50 years of experience serving this local community, we deliver financial advice in a language you can understand. Visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Let's make your retirement all that you've dreamed it could be.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Friedman Financial is a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Money, 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 money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. And I'm joined by my business partner this morning, Marion Gilman. How are you, Marion?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. You got all your Christmas shopping done?
No, do you? Oh.
Well, yeah. Good, yeah. Fair
good,
question,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, done.
I'm done. Hanukkah was early this year.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, you know, we got some presents for the staff and stuff, but for the most part...
Shh, don't tell anyone.
Yeah, I hope they're not listening.
No, I know.
I just won't
tell
them what I got.
Right, exactly.
Do you know what I got them?
I do.
I know you do, so don't tell anybody either.
Yeah, don't worry.
All right. You know, look, we're a few weeks away from the end of the year, and one of the things that I've been talking about since November on this radio show is being careful about investing your money, especially money that doesn't go into retirement accounts, personal money, investing money in mutual funds during the months of November and December because of something that can sometimes happen called a capital gain distribution, which can be a tax disadvantageous situation to your investment strategy if you're not careful. In this year, 2021, is one where you can really be burned if you're not careful. In fact, I talked about a few weeks ago that there were close to 40 mutual funds that were going to pay a distribution, a capital gain distribution, greater than 30%. Now, we're going to explain what that means in a minute. And there's got to be, this list goes on and on, there's got to be 400 funds here paying more than 20%. So I know that you and I work on communicating with our clients and looking at our clients' portfolios, but I wonder if you're doing it, if you're a do-it-yourself investor. Are you hearing from your financial advisor about the potential capital gain distributions that you might be subject to? So Marion, maybe you can bring us up to date and fill us in about what all this stuff means that I've just been talking about.
Sure. So we mentioned during the last segment about how incredibly well the stock market has done over the course of the year. So when there are substantial gains in the stock market or in stocks in general, the mutual funds end up having to pay out larger than normal capital gain distributions. So let me explain what a capital gain distribution is. A mutual fund itself invests in a portfolio of stocks. So let's say there are 500 stocks within that mutual fund. During the course of the year, the mutual fund manager buys and sells stocks as he or she sees fit. At the end of the year, each time they have bought and sold a stock, they either made a gain on the stock or there was a loss on the stock. At the end of the year, they add all of that up. And if there is a net gain within the mutual fund on all of the stocks they've sold, that has to be paid out to the shareholders of the mutual fund before the end of the year. Those are the requirements when you own a mutual fund. So you want to add anything
to so,
that, Mark?
So one thing to think about, when you're looking at the price of your mutual fund, let's say your mutual fund is selling for $10 a share. Your mutual, the price of that share is mostly based upon the price appreciation or depreciation of the value of the stocks in your account. But in addition to calculating that price, it includes dividends that have been accumulated for the quarter, haven't been paid out, and another bucket that's called the capital gain bucket of those realized gains. And so let's say, for instance, your mutual fund is selling for $10 a share, and you hear that there's a 10% capital gain distribution being paid on your fund. Well, you know that $1 of that $10 mutual fund is the capital gain distribution. So when that gets paid out, the mutual fund is going to drop, mutual fund price is going to drop from $10 a share to $9 a share. Now, you have a choice with that distribution. They either send it to you in a check, but most people reinvest their distribution. So what you would be doing is you'd be buying a bunch more shares at the $9 price. Now, the value of your account will likely still be the same, but 10% of your investment could now be subject to tax this year.
Because all of those capital gain distributions are considered taxable income to you, unless it's in a retirement account. So if it's in a non-retirement account, whether it's an account in your individual name, a joint account, a trust account, that is taxable income in the year in which it was received.
So imagine this. Imagine you had a $100,000 investment account and you found out that the investments in your portfolio were going to pay a 20% capital gain distribution. And tomorrow, after they pay that distribution, your account is still worth $100,000, but you're subject to tax on $20,000. What if it's $500,000 and it's 20%? You're subject to tax of $100,000. Remember, that amount of money is added to your other income for the year. So what can you do to mitigate that? What are we doing, Marion, when we can?
Well, there are a variety of things you can do to mitigate that. One of the first things we do is every year in the month of November and December, we take a look at the accounts and we look to see if any of the investments have a tax loss within the fund, because there are some funds that have tax losses in them. You know, could be that maybe it was a bond fund, it didn't do well towards the end of the year, and that has happened this year, so that's something to look for. If you sell that mutual fund, you can realize a loss. So let's say that you have a loss of $2,000 in the fund, you sell it, you can invest in something else, not the same thing, because you can't invest in the exact same investment for at least 30 days in order to take the loss. If not, it's considered what's called a wash sale. So it's a little bit complex, but you can't take the loss if you put money back in the same investment within 30 days. In any event, if you can take losses in the account, that can offset some of the gains. Because once again, for you individually, the gains and the losses are netted out. So if your losses, they offset some of the gain. The other thing that we do is we evaluate each and every mutual fund in the portfolio and look at whether or not the capital gain distribution is more or less than the actual gain you have in the fund. If your capital gain distribution is going to be more than what the actual gain is for you individually, you can sell that fund before the capital gain distribution and avoid the distribution completely.
Yeah, because, you know, you think about it, in the month of, I think it was September and October, the stock market actually went down. It went down this year, Mary,
yeah,
just a little bit.
I know.
So let's say you made $100,000 investment on September 1st, and your account dropped to, let's say, $95,000. But over time, over the past month or two, it's worked its way back up. It's now at $100,000 again. And you're thinking, well, all right, we'll just continue to focus it. But you'll focus and keep it for the long term. But you learn that this fund has an embedded 20% capital gain in it. And all of a sudden, your $100,000, for which you've made no money on so far, is going to be subject to tax because $20,000 was paid out in a distribution. Wouldn't it make more sense to sell out of that fund before the distribution, take a small loss or even a small gain if you have it, and use that money to buy another fund that may have already paid its capital gain distribution, or perhaps what's called an exchange-traded fund, an ETF. And that's what many people are looking to do these days because they're tired of paying capital gain distributions.
Right. I do also want to take the other perspective for 1 minute here as well. And that is, for some of these techniques are not working this year. If you've been a long-term investor and you've owned, you know, whatever shares you have for a very long period of time, or even if you've owned them for 3 years, it's highly unlikely that you're going to have losses in the account, that you can offset any gains.
That's right.
And that's what we've found, because most of our clients are long-term investors, so there's really not a lot that we have to offset any gains in the account. However, do remember that you've also potentially made, if you bought the S&P 500, you've made 25% on that.
You may have made 25%.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But in any of it, you have made money as well. So this is a positive item.
I know. Yeah, people don't like paying taxes, but their accounts are up double digits.
Right.
And they, I got to pay taxes on this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Third year of double digit gains. So there will be taxes to pay, likely.
Yeah, I remember I always joke about the story about a client that came into our office. This was years and years ago. Maybe I was 6 or 7 years in the business. They had been with my dad for a long time, and they had just come back from getting their taxes done. And they said, Mark, I think there's a problem. This is the first year we owed taxes. And I said, so what's the problem? They said, well, we've never paid taxes before. We usually get a refund. And I looked at their accounts and I looked at their tax return, and they had made a lot of money this past year. I said, well, if you'd like us to work on losing you money, I can assure you we can figure out ways for you to get a refund. But this was a year when they had made a lot of money and there were taxes due. Sometimes you just have to pay the tax.
It's not fun. It's not pleasant. But you know what? You got to do it. The other factor that enters into this is, for the most part, these are capital gain distributions. Dividends are a little bit different, but the capital gain distributions, if you are in the lowest two tax brackets, you actually pay zero tax on capital gain distributions. So remember that as well. It could be that even though there are capital gain distributions, if you're retired and you have very little income, it might not affect your tax rate at all.
That's right. And that's one of the reasons why we, as advisors to our clients, we use our tax planning software to run those scenarios through to see whether it makes sense to accept the capital gain distribution, to make changes to the portfolio, to understand your tax bracket. And the only way we can do that as your certified financial planner is knowing where everything is and what everything is worth, and getting a look at your personality, at your tax return, at everything in your financial life. That's what we do at Friedman Financial. And this is the kind of advice that we provide to our clients on a regular basis. And the advice that we're giving here on the radio is for educational purposes only. Please don't take the advice that we give you and say, oh my God, this is an issue for you. I don't know whether it is, but make sure that you're taking a thoughtful approach to think it through, to understand what you need to do, connect with a professional, whether it's us or somebody else, but recognize that the easiest thing that we can do in this world when it comes to investing is picking the investments. The hardest part is staying invested for the right reasons. That's financial advice in a language you can understand. And we're going to close out this segment because we have to take a quick break with that piece of advice. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial. With all that's gone on over the past couple years, perhaps retirement is sounding pretty good. But how can you focus on the future when you're so busy juggling the day-to-day? It's time for a real plan, a plan you can define, a plan you can track, and a plan you can modify as things change. At Friedman Financial, that's what we do. We know that planning for your retirement can be overwhelming, but with more than 50 years of experience, we know what you're going through. We're experienced and we're fiduciaries. We listen and we collaborate with your best interests in mind. You don't have to do this alone anymore. Turn to us for answers to your why, how, and what if questions. If now is the time to get serious about your retirement, please give us a call. We're Friedman Financial of Peabody. Financial advice in a language you can understand.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
Friedman Financial is a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Ristorante. If now is the time for you to get serious about your financial planning and investment management needs, I hope you'll give our office a call at 978-531-8108. Many people look to get their financial house in order as they plan for the beginning of the year, and we are taking initial consultations starting in January for those that want to get started with us. We'd be delighted to meet with you, but if you'd like to schedule a phone call or some time to chat with us prior to scheduling your meeting, give our office a call, 978-531-8108. Or maybe you just want to learn a little bit more about the type of advice that we offer to our clients and to our readers and listeners here. We have a newsletter that we've been putting out since March of 2009. Close to 7,000 subscribers sign up for it. Get it every Friday at 10:30 in their inbox. All you need to do to get it is go to the bottom of the page of our website, any page you want. Go to FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Bottom of any page, put in your name, your email address. You can send us a message if you want, and you'll immediately start to get our newsletter beginning this Friday at 10:30. And lastly, many people are always asking us, Mark, can you tell us more about your firm? How do you work? What type of clients do you serve? What are your fees? How does it all work? Well, you can go to our website, FriedmanFinancial.com, and there's a tab there that says New Client Information. And you hit that tab and you can walk through a little PowerPoint presentation that tells you everything we do, what to expect in your first meeting, what financial planning looks like through the lens of what we do here at the office, how we manage portfolios, what we charge to do it. It's all there in front of you. We are a fully transparent company. We have to be fiduciaries. We are going to put your interests first, and it only starts with us sharing how we work with you in the most transparent fashion. So that's how we do it. We'd love to talk with you. But for the time being, we're here on the radio providing financial advice in a language you can understand. I'm joined by my business partner, Marion Gilman, and we have been talking about anything and everything as we prepare for the end of the year. Where do we last leave off? Do you recall?
Well, end of the year is always a busy time. So we actually just left off with, we were talking about capital gain distributions, which are always a challenge at year end, and it can be a big surprise in April when you go to do your taxes.
Yeah, it sure can. And
if you weren't expecting it.
Yeah, so if you missed that segment, you can pick us up on the podcast. Go to NorthShore1049.com or go to any place that carries a podcast, look for Dollars and Cents. If you search on Dollars and Cents, by the way, cents is S-E-N-S-E, and there's a lot of podcasts that call themselves Dollars and Cents. So if I were you, I would do Dollars and Cents and then type in Friedman or Financial, and you'll get us right away. But one of the things that we've seen happen, Marion, over this past quarter or two is a rotation out of growth stocks and into value stocks.
Yeah, it's really been fascinating because growth stocks really took a huge climb at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No.
They sure have. I mean, you know, from all of those stocks that, remember all those meme stocks we talked about,
of course.
That's
right, yeah.
But then there was, I mean, you've seen a stock like Peloton really take it on the chin this year, because people are going back to the gym. I mean, that's good. It was going to happen, right? Did you not think we weren't going to get out of our house and go back to the gym?
So, these are the stocks like back in 2020 when we first went into lockdown. You know, nobody thought twice about it, I think. And then after a month or two, when we realized, oh my God, I'm going to be stuck in the house a long time, there was a huge surge of Peloton buying, right?
Right.
Huge. Those numbers looked great.
Yep. And remember last year, remember how cheap gas prices were?
Yeah. I do.
And one of the worst performing sectors to invest in last year was the energy sector, right?
Terrible.
It was terrible. It was down or flat, or it did not do well.
Sorry. And actually, the previous couple of years hadn't been great for the energy sector either, but last year it just took a dive. It was a disaster.
And so now, as you go to the pumps, you see the gas prices are up.
And guess what?
Guess what sector's doing really well this year? In fact, year to date, the energy sector, according to this report I have from LPL, dated as of the 7th of December, the energy sector is the leading sector of 57.53%. Now, does that mean we should be rushing out and buying energy stocks, Marion?
I don't think so. So we need
to. But it's
to
the
learn.
Best performing.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It has been, yes, over the past year, but you got to be careful. Because once again, you know, you don't want to get burned. You don't want to buy into the best things after it's already run up, right?
Interestingly, year to date, do you know what the worst performing sector is?
I don't.
It is consumer staples.
Oh, there you go.
So, toilet paper.
We're not hoarding toilet paper anymore.
It's the stuff we need, right?
Right. So, to be clear, we're not suggesting people aren't going to buy toilet paper anymore.
Right.
What we're suggesting is that people stocked up so much that they don't have to buy toilet paper for two more years, probably.
Well, they don't. But the other thing is because of the supply chain shortage,
right?
Some of the consumer staples that you might like to buy, you can't buy. And so how can those stocks go up if we can't buy them?
And that's what's going on in the automotive industry.
Right.
As well.
But this is a supply and demand issue, right?
The prices are astronomical if you want to sell your used car, right?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I told the story about Mindy getting $7,000 at CarMax for a car I didn't think she could get $1,000 for.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, you go to buy a new car if they even have it on the lot. But if they do, the sticker price, you're not negotiating over the sticker prices. They're telling you it's 20% more than the sticker price.
I know.
It's just crazy. So, you know, so we've seen the value companies, companies that were paying dividends, companies that are heavy equipment companies, oil companies, financial companies,
banks
and stuff. Those are companies are doing well, while the growth side might have been a bit oversold. And you actually kind of see that in the adjustments that you're seeing in the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ has taken a pullback.
That's correct.
Yeah. And the S&P 500 has been kind of your balancing factor that's kind of pulled it all together a little bit. But, you know, people often, they come to us and they say, Mark, are you worried about inflation? Mary, are you worried about inflation?
I am not worried about inflation. The reason I'm not worried terribly about inflation is because inflation was so low for so long. That was actually hurting people. And so now this year, we've actually seen a somewhat more inflation. But think about what it was like last year. Nobody raised their prices last year. They couldn't sell. I mean, nobody went into the stores. They were all discounting. This holiday, you don't see quite as much discounting anymore. So, you know, I'm not worried about inflation just because prices have come up to where they probably should have been anyways.
That's right. But I do think there is some inflation because there has been greater demand than there has been supply.
Most definitely.
And when that happens, there has to be some inflation
areas,
in certain areas, right?
Yeah.
And as the supply chain opens up, and there's more product being delivered across this country, whether it's in the form of a squishmallow, whatever those things are called, or it's a semiconductor, it really doesn't matter. When we can get all of those things in the hands of businesses, they can begin to create efficiencies, which pulls down prices or makes them competitive. And when people have product, then they have to lower their price if there's a lot of product, right?
Right. Well, and I would go along. I know the Federal Reserve has been saying that they think this is temporary. I also think that the significant increase in inflation is temporary. We might stay, you know, we might not fall down to 2% inflation or 1% inflation in a couple months, but I do think it will work itself out because eventually we will get back to normal, more normal times. Maybe we're not going all the way back to the way we used to live. Maybe we are. Some people, I'm sure, will. Some won't. But we will get back to something that's more normal.
You know,
I firmly believe
that. Yeah, I remember years ago when I was a kid and people talked about the technology coming and when we had computers and we had robots and all this kind of stuff, it was going to put so many people out of work. Because what were people going to do? The robots and the technology was going to run the world, right?
And we were going to have paperless offices.
Right, we're going to have paperless offices. That was coming, right?
Yep.
So now we have plenty of technology, yet we need more people to work. in technology companies, not to mention other places like a restaurant, yet we can't find them. This just doesn't make sense. Where did all the people go that were working 2 years ago if they just decided, I've made enough money in my government checks or I can live on a lower amount of money? Where did these people go?
Well, I think sometimes there's a mismatch between what we need and what we have. You know, my son works in cybersecurity. And cybersecurity is a very hot field. You know, you talk about technology. Well, that's an area that was created from technology. We never even knew we needed that 5 years ago, right, or 10 years ago. Who heard about the cybersecurity team? In any event, but you need a certain type of specialized education to actually go in and work in that
Absolutely.
Area.
But what about the jobs that don't require a specialized education, like washing dishes in a restaurant or running a plow? Well, I suppose that requires some form of education, but
maybe.
But some of the, maybe, yeah. Or washing towels in a hotel. I mean, how much skill is necessary there? Those are certainly trainable jobs, and they can't find people to do those jobs?
You know, there's clearly a mismatch between what people are willing to pay, employers are willing to pay, and employees are willing to accept as a wage.
And I think we got to, I don't know what that living wage is that they talk about, but I will tell you, the living wage here in Massachusetts is far different from the living wage that's necessary in Missouri as it is in Idaho or in Florida, or Ohio or Tennessee.
Most definitely. And, I mean, think of the cost of a home here versus Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah. So speaking of that, so there was in the Wall Street Journal this week, there's a picture of Emmett Smith, who used to play for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
He sold his 12,000 square foot home that has six bedrooms, eight bathrooms. It's an enormous mansion of a place for $2.1 million. And I'm thinking,
I saw that.
You couldn't get half that house for that price here.
Not even close.
And it's Emmett Smith's house. You think just the name alone you could add $1 million to it. Yes, he's been in the house for 27 years. Good for him. But we are so bubbleized here in Massachusetts. We don't realize how different things are around the world. Or
we
even around the country.
Don't. We certainly don't, yeah.
All right, we got to wrap things up for the day. I do want to remind everybody about our newsletter that comes out each and every Friday. It's called Planning Pointers. If you'd like financial advice in a language you can understand, visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, to E's and a D, Financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, put in your name, your email address, and you can get our free weekly newsletter. If you haven't had a chance yet, the North Shore Music Theater is open, showing Christmas Carol. Get your tickets. David Coffey is back for, I think, the 971st year doing, no, I don't know how many years David's been doing it, but it's been a long, long time. He is just exceptional. So is the entire cast. Go check that out. Get your Christmas shopping done. I guess it's 13 more Christmas days until Christmas.
Is that what it is?
So, well, today's the 12th. So
yeah, got it.
My math is right. 13 more shopping days. Yeah. Actually, 12
more
shopping days
right,
until Christmas. Get out there and do it. We'll see you next week. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m. The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.